Well, take out your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Turning to the topic of grace. God's grace, of course. Clarified it, defined it a little bit last week. Undeserved favor. Free gift. Of course, it goes with as part of the definition, just say grace is free, it can't be earned. The Bible is very clear on that. Vitally important for us, the unbeliever needs God's grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. And I trust and hope that you're getting that message out there, that there is grace for salvation, grace to know God for the unbeliever. There's Christians, of course, as for our purposes, as being in the church, Christians need grace. After the meeting in the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. That's just the message for us, kind of what we are focusing on as we meet together and go over this topic for 4 weeks. Christians desperately need the grace of God. We desperately need it. Continue in the grace of God. We don't receive grace and then move on in life to something that we do ourselves or something that we can handle at that point. My fear is that's the battle, quite honestly, in Christian life, where we have functionally moved on past our need for grace, and that's dangerous. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. God is the grace giver, which He lavished on us. He is not a miserly grace giver. He is lavishing grace. He is rich in grace, rich to give us grace. And so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness. And so the grace issue in life is never a shortage on God's part. It's not a supply and demand thing where we've just used up too much of God's grace. He is lavishing it. He is a grace giver. He has a plenty, and He is wanting to bestow that on us. And so that's the point, really, of this study, just to remind ourselves of that, and then to see, okay, if God is a grace giver, if God is lavishing grace on us, if there's grace available, why do not all people receive an abundance of grace all the time? It's very evident in our world, isn't it? And so that's kind of what our point is, and we'll be looking at today, the means of grace. We want to develop a growing desire for God's favor, for God's favor, His grace, His pleasure in us, to seek a deeper relationship with the living God and to know Him and to invite His activity in your life. That's really a lot of what we're talking about here. When we talk about God's grace, Him bestowing grace, it's inviting His favor and activity in your life, Him involved in your life. And so those are our goals. Remind us our need and then to move us towards seeking God's grace daily. And I hope that is emphasized today as we consider some more passages and topic of grace today. So pray with me, and we'll kind of just dig right in. Thank you once again, Lord God, for your amazing grace. It's one of those topics, words, whatever, in Christianity that can even become cliche in our experience because some of us have been around, been in Christ most of our lives, our whole adult life or whatever, and we're familiar with the idea of grace. And most of us, all of us that know you, know that we have received grace, but it could be that it's not, it could be even foreign to us, or it could be that it's not a driving force in our life to seek your grace every day, certainly. And I believe that to be true. So help us. Encourage us today to seek your grace, to know you, to know that there is more out there available for us that you're offering if we would but seek you and seek your activity, your involvement. And so God, help us as we unpack these things, as we look at these many scriptures today, that it would become helpful, personal, and it would be good and easy for us to apply. In Jesus' name. So today, the goal is to answer the question, so then, okay, we looked at what grace is, how much there is, what God is doing, what he's offering, so then how do I get it? I think that's an important question, isn't it? How do I lay hold of what God has laid hold of me for is basically what we're talking about. How do I get God's grace? Well, it's obviously, as we talked about, a gift. So you have to receive it. And that's something I think that even humanly makes these topics difficult for us to understand. How do I pursue something that I receive that I don't work for? What means does God deliver grace? How does he give it to us? How does grace get from the throne of God to my life? Is basically what we're talking about there. And so you could, if you wanted to, you could ask the question, well, does he? Right? Is there a means of grace? I think some people have taken that to the extreme and it becomes formal. That's a problem, right? There's these formal means of grace that are set up and that you seek, and that can become a problem because then you just seek the formalism. Does he? And the Bible is very clear that God does use various means. And I want you to think about how important that is, that answering that question in your own life today. Because there's really only two ways to approach this idea of God's grace, God bestowing grace on us. It's that he uses specific, real-time, real-life means to deliver his grace, his favor, his activity in your life. Or grace basically just is. And it's that mystical idea, just sort of that thing that we talk about and we're excited about. It's that force or that idea or that whatever. And you just kind of go with the flow. And as we look today, you're going to see the Bible has a radically different position than that. That God is delivering grace to us specifically in specific ways. And it's important for us, and this has been very helpful for me this year, but it's important for us to sort that out and to chew on those things. So what we're going to look at today, as I went through this study and just was encouraged to go back over and think through these things, there's a lot of different minutiae, I suppose, of ways that God delivers grace to us. And so I've picked five of the sort of big bullet points that I would see. These are the main ways that God delivers grace. I'm not saying this is exhaustive, per se, and some of them that you might think of would be in one of these five ways even. We're going to look at five specific ways that God gives us grace today, how God delivers grace, or you could say how a Christian avails himself or receives, goes after God's grace, how we go get it. Now, for the unbeliever, as we said last week, the grace that you need for today, if you're not born again, is by accepting God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That's the grace that you would need today. And you won't be able to receive the grace of God the way that we're talking about today until you are born again. These avenues of receiving God's grace that we're talking about today are for believers, for people who are born again. The first one is prayer. And I'm going to hear this. I'm not saying that unbelievers do not receive God's grace. We talked about that last week. They certainly do. Everyone does. We got up today. We had air to breathe. We had food to eat. We have a nice place to live. So we receive God's grace, but we're talking about the specific activity of God in our life, our God growing us and letting us know him more. Prayer. Notice this. Let us therefore become boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain, so that we would receive. Do you see that? So that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Have you thought about that? One of the primary means of God's grace being delivered to you is through the avenue of prayer, seeking God's grace. You know, and we're humans, so we can't just sort of relate humanity to God and say that it works or whatever, right? But think about it. You've had those times in your life. Why didn't you XYZ? Why didn't you give me? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you? Well, you didn't ask. Right? And some people apply that to the nth degree and it's sinful or whatever, right? Or, you know. But think about it. You probably said that, right? You didn't ask. Now for us, that could mean I didn't even know you wanted me to do that or you needed that. Doesn't mean that for God, but think about it. Why in the world doesn't God work? Why don't I see God's grace being poured out on me? Why isn't God delivering to me all the riches that I need for the day? Why? You didn't ask. That's really something, isn't it? Right? Prayer. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That's where the grace is, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Pretty simple. And I think at some level we would all say we know that. But have you thought about it that way? I desperately need God's grace today. I'm going to seek God's grace today. One of the ways that God has told me that I can find grace is to ask, is to go to Him, is to talk to Him, is to approach Him in prayer. Defined as coming before God's throne, appearing for an audience before the great King, coming boldly, he says, confident in your relationship, confident in the acceptance that you have in Christ. Just approach Him and ask. God works through the prayers of His people. Notice this, pray without ceasing. We are commanded to pray. We are commanded to have an attitude of approaching God and coming to God daily and moment by moment even. It's not mindless busy work. It's not a religious ritual, but it is God, a deepening relationship between us and God, us going to Him, knowing Him, wanting to talk to Him, wanting to have Him involved in our life. Of course, God does not need our prayers to work. That's silly, right? Any more than you need someone to ask before you would do something. It's not even one-to-one with God. He's infinitely capable of doing anything. He doesn't need us, but He has chosen to act or to work in this world according to the prayers of His people. There's a lot of instances of that in the Bible. God would tell someone to do something, and they would do it halfway, and so He would work halfway. And then they'd be upset, and He'd say, look, I was going to do more than that. You didn't ask. And it's all throughout. The Scripture is really rich in the Old Testament in several places. God has chosen to work through our prayers. Think about this with me today. When we choose as believers not to pray, not to approach the throne of grace, not to go boldly and invite God's involvement, in one sense, we're passively saying that we really don't need God on this one. I've got this one. I don't need you to work here. I've got it. I'll take care of it. I've got the strength in me to handle it. And you can say that passively or actively. Now, how many times I've heard, well, now there's nothing left to do but pray. Right? You've heard that, right? There's nothing left to do but pray. Why in the world did God have to strip us down so far so that we had no other option? Right? So that we would. So that we would see our need for Him and seek Him and realize we can't do it. We need His grace. We need His work. We need Him to help us. We can't handle life on our own. And we have this tendency sometimes to pray for the big things and just sort of try to muck through life on the small things and not just cry out to the Lord. Prayer. Prayer is an attitude of dependence. That could be a big reason why it's difficult for us. Is because even if in your life if you pray, your prayers become rote or you try to rush through it because you have to do it or whatever, it's because you're not demonstrating an attitude of dependence. You're not really living in and recognizing how deeply you need this God that has made you. And He says He's going to work and He loves you. And in prayer, you have to say, God, I am helpless. Help me. I need you. I'm making requests. I want you involved. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Praying with thanksgiving is God's will for His people. And so, be thankful. And you know, even think about it. We just came out of the Christmas season. Grace, we talk about being a free gift, right? God's work and His grace is a free gift to us. And it sure is nice when you give someone a gift for them to say thanks, right? And this is that attitude. God, thank you. Thank you for how you've worked. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for your involvement in my life. An attitude of thanksgiving. Just for, you know, this, I have to be careful with as a counselor. don't want to motivate us by what we can get. That's easy enough for us to do as humans, but just for our own self-interests, we should be praying, right? For just because life works and God delivers, God answers. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace in my day of trouble. I call upon you, for you answer me, right? You know that as you pray, God hears. He answers. He hears. And so just even our own self-interest, this is what the psalmist is saying. Listen for my plea for grace, God. I know you answer me. Many psalms like this. How many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying, of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Don't you love that? Don't you love that prayer? Come and hear, all you who fear God, I will tell you what he has done. See, God answered his prayer, what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and my high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That's one, file that away for next week. If I have charity in my heart, he will not listen. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love. And that word can be used, that said, even as grace in the Old Testament there. God answers our prayers. And so even in self-interest, it's good. But if we want God to work, if we want to receive, we need to ask, we need to pray. Confession and repentance, then. This is a huge one. We'll talk a little more about this next week and how this interplays in our life. And I'm not, you know, I just am what I am. You know that by now if you're still here. But I'm alarmed by the lack of genuine repentance in the Christian church. I just have to say it. I'm alarmed. This sort of shirt sleeve, low grade, I'm sorry stuff that I see almost every day of my life. It's alarming. And we wonder why God isn't delivering bucket loads of grace to us. Remember what the psalmist just said? If I had harbored iniquity, God wouldn't hear my prayers. That's important, isn't it? Confession and repentance, critically important. If we want God to work, if we want to receive his grace. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what all of this stuff means, okay, or how the dynamic is or whatever. This is just what the Bible says. How I hear this is this. You want something from God, you're asking, you want him to work, you want to grow or whatever, and you're sitting there harboring unconfessed sin in your life, and you're pretending like it doesn't matter. All God is waiting to hear is, please forgive me. Until then, there's nothing else, there's no other conversation to have. Right? Oh God, please this, oh God, please that, oh God, change this, do that. I'm waiting for you to ask for my forgiveness here. You know what your heart, you know what you're doing. You know the destructive nature of sin. I'm waiting to hear that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice the grace you receive in that. And I think it's a pride thing, a big part of it, a pride thing of why we don't recognize the depth of our sin and run to God in repentance and forgiveness. But notice the utter beauty of that. Confession is not something to avoid. Repentance is not something to run from. Your sin is not something. And think of who would want you to hide your sin and not deal with it? Would it be God? No, that's a tool of the enemy. It's a beautiful thing because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just both to forgive us. The slate is clean. It's a beautiful thing of a child running to a parent and saying, oh, forgive me. I have hurt you. I have sinned. And the parent lovingly saying, oh, of course I forgive you. And you see, you just receive grace right there. Grace, forgiveness. And we'll look at that next week, like I said. Is anyone among you suffering? Right? That person needs grace. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, an attitude of just coming clean and just asking for forgiveness and inviting people to pray over you and letting God take care of it all. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I've certainly seen that many times in my life, and it's stunning when God shows up that way. God extends grace to the repentant, though, as we see there. That's very important. And stay tuned on next week as we look at that again. The church. Now, I've got like 7 hours worth of verses on this one. I wonder why that would be. But we'll go through them pretty quickly. The church, God gives us grace through the church. It's His church, right? He left His church here to carry on His work, and He told us that that's what He was going to do. Of course, God gives us grace through the church. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another as all the more as you see the day drawing near. Body life in Christ. And there are many aspects of how God's grace can show up in your life through the ministries of the local church. Corporate worship. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Corporate worship is one way. Involvement even in the smaller groups. Notice this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. And so that one is, again, one we could talk about more. But it's basically saying God has given us a stewardship as a church. It is to take His grace and invest it into the lives of other people. And in the body, then, one another. Right? In smaller group settings, we use the gifts that God has given us, grace gifts, to help, encourage, and build others up in the body of Christ. And so as you're in the body of Christ, it's going to go two ways. You're going to be delivering, you're going to be a steward of God's grace, and then you're going to be receiving God's grace as someone uses their gifts to minister to you. And a very important. Godly relationships and friends. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You ever seen that on your TV this political season? Right? Everybody wants to tell you what you want to hear. That's an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, someone that loves you enough to get involved and to tell you a need. And that's God's grace showing up. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from the earnestness of his counsel. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Godly relationships and friends in Christ. Ecclesiastes tells us our need. Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need each other in Christ, and especially in the church. And as we see in Galatians 6, if anyone is caught in any transgression, what's going on there? You're in desperate need of grace right there, right? If you're caught in a transgression. You who are spiritual, so those who are walking with Christ, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So God's grace will show up in Christ in restoration. Restoration of the wandering, restoration of people who are sinning, caught in a trespass, caught in a transgression. Church, we find God's grace all throughout the scriptures as it goes with the church. Like I said, there are many. We could talk about that a lot more. The Bible, of course, God delivers His grace through the scriptures. Notice what it's even called. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. It's actually called the word of His grace. God delivering grace to us, and it comes via the Bible. Bible reading, Bible study, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. They teach me, in other words. They teach me about life. Memorizing, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That means something. It doesn't say I stored it up in my iPad, right? It doesn't say I stored it up in book form. It says I stored it up in my heart. And we, right now, this year, we're doing Ephesians 2 as a church. And some of those are still available in the foyer to help you with that in ESV if you'd like to memorize that with us. It's an excellent exercise and just daily mulling over the Word of God and get that Word in your heart and so that it just comes out in time of need so that I might not sin against you. That's a need for God's grace, memorizing the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing others with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let it dwell inside of you richly. Meditate on the Word of God. Let it soak in and think about God's Word. You'll be surprised what an effect that can have on your life. Hearing good messages. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of God. You are getting God's grace delivered to you right now. Isn't that awesome? And, you know, that's hard for me. I have to make an effort to hear. And I do. But it's very important, hearing messages. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace. God's grace comes through us through his word. Through the word of his grace. And it does make sense, doesn't it? That God would use the Bible to deliver grace to us. It's, you know, Christ was called the living word. He came by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is God speaking to us. This one might surprise you. This one may be not as talked about, but practical works. And I'm hoping as we just touch on this a little bit this morning, it'll pique your mind to remember some things. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and forgets what he was like. It's kind of a silly picture that James gives us there. And some of us are good at that on a practical level. But be doers of the word. God works as you work. This is one of the ways that God has designed life to work. This one is huge in the counseling ministry because I meet a lot of people who can talk a good talk. And a lot of them at some level even know the truth. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They can talk a good talk, put on a good show or whatever. But in their daily life, they're not practicing. The scriptures just haven't impacted them. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why would God's grace not be poured out? And I would think of it in counseling like this. Why are you stuck? Why are you stuck? And we have people come and week after week after week after week, they won't do their homework. Well, they're not growing. Why? I wonder why. Right? No practical works in their life. God's not going to come along and bless you for your disobedience and you're ignoring your part, right? You don't have a switch that I can flip on. I look for those every once in a while. Please give me a switch. Evil to good. Boom, you know. It just doesn't exist. I want you to think about this. God works as you work, more specifically and accurately, God works as you obey him. God works as you obey him. And I have an example of that. The book of Nehemiah. Right? God works as you obey him. Think about how radically different the story of Nehemiah would have been if it had said, the people had no mind to work. Instead of, for the people had a mind to work. They sat around drinking coffee in the rubble because the people had no mind to work. Don't you think we would have had a radically different book of Nehemiah at that point? Nehemiah saw the suffering of his people. His heart was broken. And he said, man, palace life is nice. I am no way I'm going to Jerusalem. Right? God would have said, oh, well, then I'm just going to pour grace on you and it'll be built anyway. No. See, God works as we obey him, as we work. And again, this is one of those things, I'm not going to say that I've got this all figured out. I have no idea, because God is ultimately sovereign. I think of it as a sovereignty umbrella where he gives us choices under. Our choices can't get outside of his sovereignty. But underneath it, he does give us choices. There are legitimate and real choices. You can make good ones and you can make bad ones. Look at the world, right? People are making bad choices all the time that are not within the what God would tell us we're supposed to do from his word. And we can just choose to disobey him. And many times, now he can, the Bible says he turns the king's heart like rivers of water, so he can, if he chooses to, make you do something. He has that ability. But for the most part, and to a great degree, God just lets us live with what we've chosen. You want that? Okay. And again, you see that all throughout the scriptures. So for us, that's the negative side. But the positive side is this. As you work, God works. As you obey God, God shows up. And I tell you, you want to see a rich example of that? Do some biblical counseling. I can almost write it down within the first two sessions. These people are going to do well. These people are going to struggle. People that come with a mind to work, people that are serious, people that want change, they do well. Almost always. People that come half-heartedly, playing games, they got drug in there by their ear, they want to change because they want life to work or whatever, and they don't really want to do it to please God, they struggle. Why? One of the reasons is because God works as you obey him. And he doesn't force you. You're not a robot. You're not a robot. That'd be boring, wouldn't it? For all a bunch of robots. Then we'd have to hire IT people instead of pastors. Hey, they ain't got it too easy either, right? Those things never work. They might be worse than people. God works as you obey him. Practical works. The Lord is a sun and a shield and bestows favor. There's that word for grace, favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from everyone in the world. Is that what your version says? Who walk uprightly. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God works as you work. That's God bestows grace on you. He's a sun and a shield, and he bestows favor and honor. Awesome to think about. That should be an encouragement to every one of us. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blessed who walk in the law of the Lord. If there's a blessing there, there's a deliverance of grace there as you obey God. I'm sure it kind of makes logical sense. You know, God's not blessing disobedience. He's blessing obedience. He's blessing those who follow him. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. To what end? Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Whoa, now that's some strong language, isn't it? You see? The grace of God has appeared to an end, to train us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, live self-controlled. Basically, God came and saved us, made us new so that we could know him more, so that we could be made new, so that we could be made more like him. So there's blessing in obeying God. God does work, and good works are a big part of that. The result. I don't know, you know, I would love to talk about this for another half hour, but I think we'll just sort of kind of wrap it up here because we're getting close to that hour. But we have to spend some time on this because this is the okay, then what, right? This is the okay, then what part. Deepening and increasing intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. Is that something that you have a tendency or have had a tendency to take lightly? And I can already answer that yes, because you're human, right? None of us have sought God enough this week, right? Isn't that true? None of us have. Maybe some of us have done a lot better than others. Some of us have done a lot worse than others, but none of us have enough. This is our need, deepening. Now think about how beautiful that is. Deepening and increasing intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. See, as we seek God's grace, what we're seeking is the grace giver. We're seeking God's involvement in our life. We're seeking Him showering us with His favor, with His grace. We're seeking His love, His affections. We're seeking His work in our life. Deepening, increasing. From His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So in Christ and through Christ, we receive grace upon grace. God's work continues in our life. God has those immeasurable, infinite riches of grace that He's bestowing on His people and wanting to bestow more and more on His people. And so we need to seek and go after that relationship. As we use the means that God has given us, we know Him more. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'd ask this question today. I think two questions to close out. Which area would you say that you need to grow in the most? There's five that we talked about, and those are big ones, and there certainly are more, and there could be more within those. Which area would you need to grow in the most? Prayer, confession, repentance, church life, the Bible, practical works. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, deceiving yourself. You think you're okay, but you desperately need God's work in your life. Which means which one? And then take that. So just this is something. Please take this seriously today. Think about it. Write some notes down even now. Which area, you know, pray about it. Oh God, which area do I need to grow in the most? Which is one way that I'm leaving grace on the table? Make a practical plan then. What would I do? What would that look like? Maybe you may need some help with that. Make a practical plan. Here are some steps that I could go through to seek God's grace in this area. And then follow through. Follow, use your plan. Use it. Put it into practice. And then watch as God showers you with grace. You know, being a pastor is like the weirdest thing in the world. Being an actual pastor. There's a lot of people that have the job. It just is what it is. It's America. It's the easiest and hardest job in the world. It's crazy. And every week is different. You know, there's never really a day off. Sometimes there is. Sometimes there's not. And it's crazy sometimes. But you know what you get to see? You get to, almost daily, you get to see God's grace delivered to people. Man, that's priceless. You get to see the Creator of the universe show up and work and deliver grace. God is there. He's looking. He's the God that gives grace and favor to those whose hearts are seeking Him. Watch God work. Rejoice in it. Be awed as He does. Just sit back and see what God does as you pick an area to work on, as you make a plan, as you follow through. Now, this is just to close here. Think about this question. This is the other question then. Will you? You could phrase this question many different ways. How often have you? Do you see this tendency? But I want to ask it this way. Will you willingly set aside the grace of God? Will you willingly set aside the grace of God? I'll give you a practical example of that. You get up in the morning and you've got stuff to do. And you've got things that have to be done and you've got a schedule. And your Bible sits there in its case and you never crack it open. You know what you've just done? You have willfully set the grace of God on the shelf. Right? Who here hasn't done that? Right? Amen? It's life, okay? But I want you to make that connection in your mind now and think about the force of that. Will you willingly set the grace of God aside? And if you would approach the scriptures that way, I need grace today. God is delivering me grace through His word. Am I really going to set the grace of God aside for my schedule today? God delivers grace to me through prayer Am I really going to ignore the grace that God has for me today and not approach his throne? Am I really going to do that today? Is my day so important? Is the stuff that I've got to do that big? If it is, then you really need to pray, amen? Right? You see? Not everybody's here today, are they? It's cold outside. Are you really going to set the grace of God aside because it's cold? Hey, pat yourself on the back. You didn't do that today. Think about how rich I am. This has really helped me. I hope it helps you. I make that distinction in my mind every day. Okay, I've got this to do. I've got that. I got this person to meet. I got that to talk. I got this fire to put out, whatever. Wait a minute. Am I really going to set the grace of God aside? Those things can wait. You know, unless someone's dying or something. Those things can wait. I got to fix this. I got to do that. That can wait. I'm not going to set aside the grace of God in my life. I need God at work. I need more of him. I need him. I'm going to demonstrate that. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to seek his grace. I'm going to invite him to work. I'm not going to tell my counselees to get going on their practical works while I'm setting practical works on the shelf. Right? You see? It's the question. Are you willing to set aside God's grace? You know, I know we don't want to, so let's grow in that. Let's pray together. God, help us today, thankful for your... And we know, we've seen, and we already knew that you have an infinite supply of grace for us, your people. Infinite. So the problem is not a supply problem, but it's design. You've designed to work as we seek you. And as we seek you specifically the way you've designed us to seek you, we can't know you but through your word and by your spirit. You work in answer to prayer. You give us grace as we meet together in your church. And so God, help us as we seek to grow. We know we need grace. We desperately do. And I know the older I get, the more I see my incredible need for your grace. So help us as we seek to make changes and not to be overwhelmed, but at least to change in some way and to grow a little bit today. And please bless our efforts. And we know you're showering us with love regardless of what we are and what we do and all of that. But we want to follow your design. We want to please you. And so help us today in this endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen.